It's Tuned To Yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's yesteryear. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark Levionier. Science fiction in this hour. Later on, we hear the story Out of the Sky on the Hall of Fantasy. But right now, it's Dimension X with an adaptation of Robert Heinlein's tale, Universe, from November 26th, 1950, on NBC.
Adventures in Time and Space. Transcribed in Future Tense.
Dimension.
In the beginning, there was Jordan, thinking his lonely thoughts. Out of the loneliness came a longing. Out of the longing came a vision. Out of the dream came a planning. And out of the planning came decision. Jordan's hand was lifted, and the ship was born.
You, look out! Are you all right?
Yes, it missed me.
What was it?
A mutant with a slingshot. I think it dashed down that passageway.
You want to go after it?
We'd never catch it, Alan. It's probably 12 decks above us by now.
I didn't think they ever came down this far. Patrols usually get them before they reach this level.
They get more daring with each generation. This one looked like a female.
Male or female, it might have killed us. I told you this trip was pure foolishness. Climbing 24 deck levels to hear a crazy old man rave.
We're almost there now. Compartment X-15, level 24. This is the place.
This area smells as if it hadn't been visited by a sanitation crew for generations.
This part of the ship is almost deserted.
Yes?
This is the compartment of John the Witness.
Who are you?
My name is Hugh Hoyland. I'm a cadet from the scientist barracks. This is my friend, Alan Mahoney.
What do you want of John the Witness?
Only to talk.
Are you a believer in Jordan?
Naturally.
I have heard that there are those among the younger scientists who doubt the word of Jordan.
To doubt is death. We're not heretics.
Oh. Enter.
I have brought a gift of tobacco. Grown on the richest level.
It smells good.
I assure you it's the best.
Wait here.
What a rat's nest. What the devil do you think he can tell you?
I don't know. Now hush.
Well?
You are John the Witness?
I am.
Good evening to you. I am Hugh Hoyland. This is my friend, Alan Mahoney.
What brings a gentleman of the scientist class to my humble apartment?
I have heard that you and your parents before you have long been keepers of the legend of the ship.
Since Jordan gave the word.
I am anxious to hear the word as Jordan spoke it.
Why?
You see, among the young scientists, there have been some who talk against the word.
There are regulations against such heresy.
Some of them say the ship has no purpose. They say that we're here accidentally. That we have no more grace in Jordan's eyes than the most deformed mutant who dwells in the highest level of the ship.
What shall I say to you?
I wish to hear the word from the mouth of one who knows, that I may become more convinced.
Sit. You have gift for the witness?
The finest tobacco.
Good. I will dim the light. Now, pay close attention, for these are the words as my father's father's father gave them to his son's son's son. This is how the ship came into being, how our people were created. In the beginning, there was only Jordan, thinking his lonely thoughts. In the beginning, there was darkness, formless and dead. Out of the loneliness came a longing. Out of the longing came a vision. Out of the dream came a planning. And out of the planning came decision. Jordan's hand was lifted, and the ship was born. Mile after mile of good compartments, tank after tank for golden corn, ladder and passage, door and locker, fit for the needs of the yet unborn. He looked on his work and found it pleasing, meet for a race that was yet to be. He thought of man, and man came into being. Then Jordan checked his thought and searched for a king. Man untamed would shame his maker. Man unruled would spoil the plan. So Jordan made the regulations, some to speak and some to listen. Order came to the ranks of men. Crew he created to work at their stations, scientists to guide the plan. Over them all he created captain, made him judge of the race of man. Thus it was in the golden age.
These are the true words?
As my father's father taught them.
But what of the strange beast-like people on the upper levels of the ship? Surely Jordan did not create them.
Jordan is perfect. All below him lack perfection. You have heard of the legend of Huff?
I have heard that he mutinied against Jordan.
Darkness swallowed the ways of virtue. Sin prevailed upon the ship. And before wisdom prevailed and the bodies of Huff and his followers were fed into the converter, some of the rebels escaped and lived to father the mutants. They are tainted with the sins of their fathers.
One more question, witness.
Speak.
What is the ship?
The ship is a great sphere, 25 kilometers wide and 100 levels deep.
I know that, but what about the upper levels?
The regulations forbid us to venture into the upper levels, but it is said that beyond the levels of the mutants lies the forbidden place where Jordan's spirit prevails.
So I've heard. But something troubles me. Something which prompted my coming here.
Yes, my son.
What lies beyond the ship?
What?
What lies beyond the ship?
This is heresy.
Answer me.
I will not permit such talk. The ship is complete. The ship is universal. The ship is everywhere. The ship is endless.
Ah, your mutterings are those of a frightened old man. They answer nothing.
You question the world?
I think you lie.
Hear me, Mr. Highland. For what you have already said, I can have your body fed to the converter. Your soul launched on the endless trip.
You threaten me.
You, for Jordan's sake.
You think I fear this dried fig of a man?
You. Sir, my friend is impetuous. He doesn't understand.
I might be persuaded to forget a substantial gift.
You pig.
You.
Come on, Alan. The sight of this so-called holy man offends me.
Now you shall not leave.
Don't try to frighten me with a gun, old man.
Remain where you are, heretic.
I warn you. Put down the gun.
No. No closer.
Drop it.
Very well, then. Dip to the heretic. Alan, get him.
Is he dead?
I don't know.
Come on, Hugh. We've got to get out of here.
Now where? We can't go back. They'd feed us into the converter. What's that?
The old woman must have turned in an alarm. Come on, the patrol will be here in no time.
Where can we go?
The upper levels.
But the mutant.
We'll have to take our chance.
Listen. That's the patrol we've got to climb. There's a hatchway. Down the corridor.
Quickly. Halt! Halt, till we fire!
Up the ladder. You wait. How far are we from the outside wall?
Judging by the slope of the deck, about 2 miles. Mutant territory. Come on, we'll try this passageway.
You.
What?
I don't know. I feel as if we're being watched.
It's your imagination.
Perhaps I...
It's only a ship's rat. Get a grip on yourself.
This is as big as a dog.
Come on.
I can't drag myself much further.
We've got to find a compartment with water.
Oh, if only you hadn't asked him that stupid question.
There's no use going over that.
Why did you do it? Why?
Alan, I've been thinking about it for a long time. And when he began to give me those stupid pat answers... Well, I just saw red, I guess.
But who are you to question the ways of Jordan? When you asked me to go with you to visit the witness, I thought you wanted spiritual help. I never dreamed
that... I'm sorry, Alan. I couldn't foresee this. I didn't know it...
Wait. Wait a minute.
Now what?
Another ship rat?
No. I thought I saw something move near that bulkhead.
I didn't see anything.
Maybe my eyes are going bad still. Listen. You rat!
Alan, look out!
Where am I? What are you? Get away from me! Alan! Alan! You look out for that knife! Stay away from me! Alan! Alan!
Don't kill him, Bobo. Not yet.
Who are you?
You must forgive my friend Bobo. Like so many of my people, he's rather impetuous where members of the so-called super race are concerned.
Who are you? What place is this?
As you can guess from my leg, I'm a mutant.
Where is Alan?
Your friend is dead. I was not able to restrain my people in time to save him.
Why don't you destroy me and get it over with?
We do not kill for pleasure, Mr. Hoyland, only when necessary.
You know my name?
I read your identification tag.
Who are you? Mutants can't read.
My name is Gregory. I'm a leader of my people. Although we are unfortunate in our heredity, Mr. Hoyland, many of us are quite intelligent.
Why do you live like animals?
We would rather live like free animals than like regimented slaves, as you do.
I've heard that you practice cannibalism.
Undoubtedly, you hear many things about us. We raise our own cattle on the upper levels, and those of our people who choose to farm raise enough crops for our small population. You turn your head. Why?
This one. I've never seen a creature like him.
Bobo is an unfortunate. He was born without the power of speech.
How can you tolerate a monstrosity?
We have learned to live with difference. If we began to destroy our imperfects as you do on the lower levels, there would soon be no one left.
It violates the regulations. The word of Jordan
states... You know, Mr. Hoyland, your people are really primitive and barbaric.
You dare say that to me?
I dare say a good deal more. Let us go to my compartment and speak further. I'm always interested in information of the lower levels.
I won't give you any information.
Bobo, I want Mr. Hoyland in my cabin, please.
Hey.
I would advise you to go quietly, Mr. Hoyland. Bobo has a hatred of superior beings, which is unfortunate, but quite understandable. Proceed. Enter, Mr. Hoyland.
This is where you live?
Yes.
But you have books.
Stolen from your libraries, Mr. Hoyland.
Compton's Astrophysics. The Philosophy of Interstellar Navigation. Celestial Mechanics. You have read these?
Most of them.
Why did you bring me here? What do you intend to do?
Do you believe in Jordan, Mr. Hoyland?
There is no other belief.
And the trip? I suppose you believe in the trip, too.
Well, what else is there to believe? When you die, your remains are fed to the converter, and your soul makes the trip.
And where does the trip take you?
Why, to Centaurus, of course.
And where, what is Centaurus?
Why, Centaurus, mind you, I'm just telling you the orthodox answer. Centaurus is where you arrive when you've made the trip. A place where everything is happy and everybody's happy and there's always good eating. It's mythological, of course.
And you believe this?
The peasants believe it, literally, but many of the younger scientists like myself know that it's figurative, symbolic. Why do you ask?
Didn't it ever occur to you, Mr. Hoyland, that the trip is exactly what your peasants believe it is? That the ship and all the crew were actually going someplace, moving.
The ship can't go anywhere. It already is everywhere.
Imagine a place bigger than the ship, much bigger, with the ship inside it, moving inside.
But there can't be any place bigger than the ship. There wouldn't be any place for it to be.
Oh, for heaven's sake. Listen, you know the lowest level?
Yes.
If you started digging a hole in the lowest level,
where would that hole go?
Where would that hole... Oh. No, it's forbidden to think such a thought.
Where would it go?
No. No, I can't think about it.
Bobo! Bobo, we're going to take Mr. Hoyland to the place.
Where are we going?
To the top level.
But it's certain death.
Nonsense. I've been there 1,000 times. Come along.
No, I won't. You can't make me.
I think we can. Now, shall we proceed peacefully, or shall I have Bobo persuade you? Open the door, Bobo. Inside.
What place is this?
This, Mr. Hoyland, is the main control room. Why, Mr. Hoyland, you're trembling.
It isn't true. There is no such place except in mythology.
Oh, you younger men are so wise, Mr. Hoyland, except for one thing. This happens to be the main control room of the ship.
But it's nothing but a huge room with an instrument panel.
What did you expect?
How do you know this is the main control room?
See these instruments? Using them, the navigator many hundreds of years ago actually steered the ship on its voyage.
I don't understand.
I didn't suppose you would. Your people have been so steeped in superstition and ignorance that the whole concept has lost its meaning. Sit in that chair. Don't be frightened. Sit down.
Very well.
Look up. What do you see?
Nothing but a huge shield.
Watch it for one moment, Mr. Hoyland. You are going to see something that few of us have ever been privileged to witness. Something so dazzling that you may find it hard to accept at first. But it is there. It is a reality. And ultimately, you must accept it.
What are you doing?
I'm dimming the lights. Don't be frightened. Keep your eyes focused on the shield above us. Ready? Watch.
The shield! It's sliding back! Ghost of Jordan.
Well,
what am I seeing?
The universe, Mr. Harlan. The universe in all its beauty. The stars, the planets, the suns, the moons, and the constellations. This is your heritage, Mr. Harlan. Heritage you've been too stupid to see.
But it can't be. The ship is the universe. There is nothing but the ship.
Ah, but there it is. You see it before your eyes, spread out like a canopy of glory. You still deny it? Answer me, Mr. Hoyland. Do you deny it?
No. No, I can't. They lied. They lied to us.
Good.
Why did you close the shield?
You will see it again if you're not afraid.
I'm not afraid.
Many times. I've shown this to others of your people whom we captured, and though they saw it before their very eyes, they would not believe it.
Tell me about it. Tell me about the ship, about the universe. What are these things? How did this come about?
Many thousands of years ago, on a planet like those you've just seen, a planet called Earth, a scientist named Jordan decided to build a ship that would carry men from one planet to another. For many years, Jordan and thousands of others studied and planned. And when they were finished, they built the ship. A ship so large that it had to be assembled in its own orbit beyond the place called the Moon. 60 years it took them to construct. And when it was finished, a whole new science had been conceived. Then the trip was begun. The trip that was to land a colony of Earthmen on a far-off planet called Centaurus, millions of light-years beyond the furthest planet ever reached before.
How do you know these things?
Among my books are the log which Jordan himself kept, and the records of the journey for the first 40 years.
What happened?
There was a mutiny.
A man named Huff led a rebellion of those who wanted to turn back. In the struggle, the navigators were killed, and the crew fell into a state of anarchy. In the years to follow, small groups of men tried to organize the ship for navigation, and each time they failed. Finally, the whole idea was abandoned. And so for centuries, we have swung in space, unmanned, undirected, living in a lost world of our own making, without purpose, without direction.
Why have you told me this? Why have you brought me here? You could have killed me.
Can you guess?
No. No, I can't. Unless... Oh, but it would be too fantastic.
Well?
You want to finish the trip. Yes, that's it. What would it take to do it?
A miracle, almost. The crew would have to be trained. Many people, each skilled in a certain duty.
Couldn't you train your own people?
We are too few. Besides, the main drive is in the lower levels where my people are forbidden to go. No. It would mean that both our peoples would have to work together. Our differences encouraged rather than denied.
It can be done. You showed me. You can show others. I can show them.
Can you?
I'll see the captain himself. I have an uncle on the central board. I'll tell him what I've seen here.
And do you think he'll believe you?
Send one of your people with me.
That's asking a good deal.
I'm risking a good deal by going back.
Very well. Bobo will go with you.
He can't talk.
There will be no need for talk. I will write a message guaranteeing safe conduct for a group of unarmed scientists to visit the main control room. Bobo will take you safely through our territory. What happens when you reach your own level is up to you.
One moment. Yes, what you... Hugh.
Quick, Uncle, let us in.
But this mutant...
He's harmless, please.
Now, what is this? You're wanted
I know
for...
all about that. Listen, Uncle, I must see the captain.
The captain? Are you mad?
You're a council member. You can get me to see him.
They'll kill you. You're wanted for heresy.
I don't care. I must speak with the captain. You're close to him. You can arrange it.
I don't understand why...
Uncle, listen to me. The ship is moving. I can prove it. Do you understand there is a purpose in the ship?
I don't understand what you're babbling
Never
about.
Never mind. Just talk to the captain. Tell him I have information of tremendous importance. Tell him I've arranged a truce with the mutants.
A truce?
Here, show him this paper signed by their leader. Do it, Uncle, for my sake.
I don't know.
Please, Uncle. If I'm to die, let this be my last request to you.
Very well. I'll speak to the captain. I'll try.
And you see, Mr. Harlan, that you saw this with your own eyes.
I swear it, Captain. I swear it on the word of Jordan.
Let me see that paper again. What do you think, Commander Hurst?
I don't know, sir. It might be a trick.
I guarantee you safe conduct.
If these things are as Mr. Hoyland reports them, it would pay to risk a few lives.
The man is a convicted heretic.
Still, we mustn't discount his word entirely. He has a safe conduct. The mutant risked its life coming with him. I think we might investigate.
You will do it.
I'll have an expedition outfitted. Dismissed, Mr. Hoyland.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Captain, do you...
Commander Hurst.
Sir.
You'll make the necessary arrangements for an expedition. I trust you understand.
Perfectly, sir. Perfectly.
Lieutenant.
Mr. Hoyland.
You'd better halt your men here. This is the spot.
Patrol, halt. I see no welcoming party of mutants.
There will be none. Their leader will meet you inside the main control room.
You don't say. And just where is this main control room?
Beyond that door.
I see. All right, men. Ready arms.
Why do you ready arms?
In case of ambush.
Ambush? Don't you think they could have ambushed you on the way up here a good deal more easily?
You know, Mr. Hoyland, I think you're a muti lover. They have a place in the converter for that kind.
Lieutenant, are you mad?
No, Mr. Hoyland. But most certainly you are. To think that we could be lured up here to be slaughtered with a fantastic story about some mythical control room.
Guns ready, sir.
Lieutenant, I warn you, these people have acted in good faith. If you break the
order, I'm anxious to open the control room, Mr. Hoyland.
No, not until those guns are dismounted.
As leader of this expedition, I order you to call them.
I refuse. You cannot do this thing. This is no way to keep a truce.
Very well, if you refuse. Go there! Mutant! Come out!
For Jordan's sake, Lieutenant!
Too quiet for comfort. Mutant! Open the door!
Please, Jordan, don't let anything happen. Please don't.
It's opening. Ready, men. Someone's coming out.
Look at his leg.
Horrible.
Steady.
He's walking toward us.
Yeah, I can't stand this.
Look out!
Gregory! No! You fools! You've killed him!
Here come the rest of them. Fire! Fire! Should teach them a lesson they won't forget. All right, men, inside the room. Orlin, you're under arrest as a conspirator in this ambush.
Ambush, you fool, you blind, stupid fool.
That'll be enough. Have you been inside this place before?
Yes.
What's all this machinery?
These are the controls he would have used to steer the ship.
He's gone out of his mind, Lieutenant.
Steer the ship?
Who? The leader, the one you killed.
This ugly mutant?
This ugly mutant happened to be a man of true greatness.
You're mad.
Am I? This man had a vision which could have saved you, but you chose to kill him because you couldn't stand the sight of his difference from you.
I'll not listen to these ravings.
Close your ears. Shut your minds against the conscience that tells you it's wrong to kill, that tells you that your need to be arrogant only proves your inadequacy to yourself.
Shut him up. Don't listen to him, man.
You can't shut your ears. My words sting you. You cannot shut your mind. And you cannot shut your eyes! Don't! Do this!
The roof! It's moving back!
Look! Let the vision of this confound your ignorance and blind your eyes! This is the heritage you tried to stifle in your own breasts! This is the heritage of stars and open skies! For which men have yearned for centuries. Try to destroy this, and you'll only destroy yourselves.
Death to the heretic.
Kill me if you choose. But I say to you that this you cannot keep from our people, that they will seek it out, and the ship will be manned, and the ship will be steered, and there will be freedom. And purpose and respect for ourselves. This is your heritage. Look upon the universe. Kill him! Kill him! Kill him!
Just heard another adventure into the unknown world of the future. The world of
Dimension X.
This has been the concluding broadcast in the current series of Dimension X. If you are interested in the continuation of this series, please write and tell us so. Your ideas and suggestions will be given the most thoughtful consideration in determining the future of this program. Just drop a letter or postcard to Dimension X, care of NBC, Radio City, New York.
Today, Dimension X is transcribed Universe, written for radio by George Lefferts and based on a story by Robert Heinlein. Featured in the cast were Mason Adams as Hugh and Peter Capel as Gregory.
Dimension X on Tuned to Yesterday from November 26, 1950 on NBC, adapting Robert Heinlein's story Universe. And though announcer Norman Rose said that it was the final broadcast of Dimension X for the series, it would return a month later and adapt that very story again in August of 1951. You're listening to an hour of science fiction on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. and now a story called Out of the Sky on the Hall of Fantasy. This was first heard on the Mutual Broadcasting System on April 20th, 1953.
Flickering in the darkness of Earth's night, a thousand suns stronger than ours, and the satellites of these suns will be invisible to us. And the fraction of the fraction of the universe we see will seem immense, and we will be in awe of it. Already men's minds have turned to the stillness of space. Already his thirst for knowledge has led him in imagination on many an expedition into space. The most primary things we know. But there remains a world, a universe of things we don't know. And if there is life in other worlds, how advanced is it? How much farther have they progressed than have we? Why would it not be possible for them to learn the secret of space travel long before we were even close to the answer?
I wonder who that can be.
I'll get it. Yes. Well... that's strange.
Who is it, dear?
No one. There's no one out here at all. I don't know if someone...
What's the matter?
Those reports, Jeff.
I can't understand it, Tom. A man and his wife who died, an airplane that crashed, several people killed in their cars, and several mysterious explosions. I just can't understand it.
Sabotage, maybe.
I don't think so. Sabotage involves destruction of a country's production potential, propaganda, that kind of thing. These people who died in their cars, a man and wife they found dead in their home, that's not sabotage. They don't work that way.
Why is it happening, then?
I don't know. That's what's almost driving me crazy. These people who have died, except in the smash-ups, there isn't a mark on them. Nothing to show how they died. No clues, nothing at all.
One thing. Do you notice how this has all been centered in one section of the country?
Yes, in the southeast, not far from the Atlantic coast.
Mm-hmm. And around this one town, right here on the map. One isolated town.
There's a report here I didn't show you, Tom.
No? What is it?
Came in a short while ago. Traces of radioactivity have been found at each scene of disaster.
Radioactivity?
That's correct. Carlson here. Yes, Tom Dakin's in here right now. It has us puzzled too, Major. No, we haven't learned anything else. Yes, sir. Yes, I understand. Goodbye. That was Major Williams.
So I gathered.
He wants us to go down there.
Oh, when?
Just as soon as possible. He says he's pretty sure this isn't sabotage. That he thinks there's something far more terrible than that in back of it. Tom Dakin and I got reservations on the first plane out. For reasons of security, after the first few reports, a censorship had been placed on any further news from the disaster area. We landed at one of the southeastern coastal cities and took a train the rest of the way. Another
another hour, we'll be there, Tom.
Yes, I know. Why so gloomy?
Well, we don't know what we're fighting. What's behind everything that happened?
That's what we're supposed to find out.
Yes, I know. And that's what I'm afraid of.
As soon as we reached the town, we got in touch with the local authorities. They took us on a tour of some of the disaster sites. We finally wound up at the lone house where the man and his wife had died. By that time, it was 9 o'clock at night.
And the chief said he'd wait out in the car for us.
He's probably tired of seeing these places.
Now, the chalk lines on the floor show where they found the bodies.
And these pictures show us the position they were in.
Yes, but they don't tell us anything.
Let's check the radioactivity. Use your Geiger counter.
All right. It's radioactive, all right. Move over a little closer to where the bodies were lying. Jeff!
Yes?
What did they say the reading was before?
2.
Well, something's crazy, then. This reading is 4.3.
What?
That's right.
That must mean the radioactivity is increasing.
But how?
I don't know that answer anymore. Listen.
What do you hear?
Turn that Geiger counter off.
Right.
Now. You hear?
Yes. Like a high-frequency hum.
Where's it coming from?
You tell me. What's that?
It sounds like an explosion from outside.
Come on, we'd better see what it was. Tom.
Yes, I see it. Where that police car was waiting for it.
There's nothing there now but a pile of smoking metal.
Dakin and I had been inspecting the house of the couple who had mysteriously been killed. Outside, a car waited for us. Suddenly, we had heard a strange humming sound of a high frequency. And then we had heard the explosion outside. We ran outside only to discover that the police car was a mass of smoking wreckage. Tom, there's nothing left but a pile of smoking metal.
Yes, I see it. What could have happened?
I don't know.
We'd better send a wire to Williams and get him out here. I don't like the looks of this.
We got back to the hotel as soon as we could. We decided to call Williams when we got there, but upon arrival, we discovered that Williams had sent us a wire saying he would join us just as soon as possible. He came in on the noon train the following day.
Well, there he is, Jeff.
Let's go meet him.
Right. Oh, he sees us.
Looks worried.
Good to see you, Carlson.
Dakin.
Anything wrong, sir?
Let's get out of here. I'll tell you then.
Have you seen all the places where the accidents took place?
All of them. There's something strange about that, Major.
What do you mean?
You must mean the radioactivity, Tom.
That's right. Major, those early reports mentioned radioactivity.
Yes, I know.
The original reading was less than 2. Now it's 4.3.
What?
That's right.
And I might as well tell you what I know. We've received a report from an airline pilot about a strange ship.
Oh?
Yes, that's right. According to what he said, it didn't look like anything he'd ever seen before. That there wasn't a silhouette of any ship on Earth that looked like what he saw.
What did it look like?
It was circular in design.
Like...
Yes, that's right.
We told you about what happened last night.
Yes. It's a good thing you weren't in that car.
Who are they?
Visitors from out of the sky, Dakin.
Out of the sky?
Out of space, if you prefer.
And you believe the pilot's story?
Yes, I do.
But why did they come here?
Well, they're not friendly. We're sure of that. And they're concentrating on this area. That means their ship is somewhere around here. We have to find that ship. No matter what the cost, it and they must be destroyed.
In the late afternoon, the battalion of troops had moved into the area. They were kept out of the town proper so as not to frighten the citizens. Another battalion would arrive the following morning and then would begin the long search to locate the mysterious visitors from out of the sky. About 7:30 that evening, Tom Dakin went out to visit some of the places where the accidents had occurred. We had set up camp with the troops on the edge of town. It was 9 o'clock when he returned.
Jeff! Major Williams.
What is it, Tom?
Look, I went out to where some of those automobile crashes took place.
Yes?
I took the Geiger counter along.
What happened?
The reading's up again. It's over 5.
Did you check just one site?
No. 3 of them. The reading's over 5 in each place, and one of them was close to 6.
This means that radioactivity is increasing.
But why? And another thing. The area of radioactivity seems to be spreading.
Spreading?
That's right. Jeff and I checked them yesterday. Now, one of the officials with us said the area seemed larger than it was before. Tonight, I discovered it was larger than it had been yesterday, and I'll lay even odds it'll increase by tomorrow.
Come here a minute. I have a map here with every site in which an accident occurred. Let's take a look at it.
For one thing, all those little marks you have on that map seem to be in a definite pattern.
Yes, I noticed that earlier.
Look, the whole town is encircled by these spots.
And they seem to be spaced at regular intervals throughout the town, too.
And they spread.
What did you say, Major?
Each of those little spots you see in the map represents a radioactive area, Carlson. A radioactive area that is spreading all the time. It's like a fire. See how the town is ringed with those little spots? And see how they're spaced inside the town? The area of radioactivity is moving in from outside the town, and from those spots inside, it will spread and move out. Spread like a fire until the whole town is nothing but a mass of radioactivity.
And the people must be evacuated.
That's right, just as soon as possible.
Mr. Williams, come to see us, sir.
I told me you're the man I should see. Major Williams?
Yes.
My name's Kincaid. I own a farm about 15 miles from here.
What did you want to see me about, Mrs. Kincaid?
I'm a spinster, Major. It's missed.
I'm sorry.
You shouldn't stand on ceremony, I guess. I saw something funny I think you ought to know about.
For heaven's sakes, what is it?
I got a lot of property, Major, and there's a lot of woods on it. I was out this evening just walking around the place. I like to do that, you know. I was walking down near the South 40. That's where the woods is the thickest. And I heard a queer humming sound.
Like a high-frequency hum?
I don't know what frequency it was. It was just a hum. I didn't know what it was, but I walked into the woods anyway. And then I saw it.
What did you see?
Funniest-looking thing I ever saw in my life. Big and round. And it glowed. It seemed to be surrounded by a circle of glowing light. It looked like a ship of some kind. The kind you might imagine would be a spaceship.
Will you take us out there?
That's what I came for.
This may be the thing we've been looking for. Come on.
We took a jeep. The four of us drove through the night to Miss Kincaid's farm. Even she was silent as we drove out there. And the thought uppermost in our minds was, what would we find out there? Who were they? And what did they look like?
I've never been so bruised in all my life.
Oh, is that the woods up there?
That's right.
I don't see anything up there.
Oh, the trees are too thick. Can't see a thing till we get inside the woods. There's a clearing near the center of them.
Well, this is as far as we can go.
All right. Let's go.
Well, I'll lead the way. You just follow me.
She's not making all this up.
I don't think she is. It fits in too perfectly with what we know.
Yes, you're right, Major. Light.
That must be it.
Strange kind of light, like a phosphorescent glow.
Well, it's getting stronger. It's getting very close to it.
Yes. There it is.
Well, what do you think of it?
It's just like you said, Miss Kincaid.
Want to go up close and get a good look?
Don't be a fool. The thing is surrounded by a radioactive circle. If we stepped into that band of phosphorescence, we'd be dead within a matter of minutes. Lightning. Sitting there, something completely alien to this world.
Not only alien to this world, Dakin. Bent on its destruction.
The four of us stood there at the edge of the clearing. Before us loomed a circular disk, surrounded by a band of eerie luminescence.
Put the Geiger counter on, Tom.
Right, Major.
Move a little closer.
Don't go any farther, Tom.
No, I won't.
There's no danger. Look, I'll walk right into it.
Stop, don't go in there.
There's no danger.
Stop her! Wait a minute. Look.
There's no danger. Not to me.
You see what's happening?
This night just frightens you. We are far ahead of you, Earthmen. I was sent here
to discover how progressed you Earthmen were, and I find that you are barbarians. I am supposed to return to my planet and report on what I have found. Now I discover that I alone can conquer you. I can even assume your shapes. Prepare to meet your doom, Earthman.
Phosphorescent, and then it dissolved before us. And something seemed to float there with no body, no clear outline as to its form.
It said, prepare to meet your doom.
Listen. Quickly.
Get back as far as you can. Are you all right, Tom?
I'm coming.
All right, drop down on the ground. And just pray that we're far enough away.
I believe that it will land somewhere close by here. Look, the phosphorescent glow is gone. The minute the ship took off, it disappeared. And I'm willing to stake my life on the fact that all the places that showed increasing signs of radioactivity are completely safe now. There should be no signs of it until that ship returns. And it will return. Believe me, it will.
We got back to the camp. We sent details out to ascertain whether Major Williams' surmise was correct. It was. Every place which had shown traces of radioactivity had lost it. For the moment, we were safe.
Do you think it's gone back to wherever it came from, Major?
I don't.
And you think it will strike again? Somewhere else?
Not somewhere else, Carlson. It will return to this area.
Why?
The preliminary operations were begun here, Jeff. Evidently, that ship must be on the ground in order for it to increase the radioactivity in those areas which it has already struck. The minute it leaves the ground contact, the radioactivity circuit is broken. It will have to return to reactivate those circuits. And we'll know when it returns when those spots show signs of renewed radioactivity.
But why would they want to conquer us, Major Williams? Why not come as friends?
Perhaps they believe that we'd be hostile to any friendly overtures. I don't know. Maybe they're ruled by a party that wants to conquer planets, just as we've sometimes been ruled by men who wanted to conquer nations.
The visitors said we were barbarians.
In relation to their technological advancement, perhaps we are. But I think that gives us our one chance of defeating him.
How?
I think he's underestimated us. Underestimated our weapons. He landed here in a rural section of the country. He doesn't realize the weapons we do have at our command. And that may be our trump card.
New troops, as many as possible. By noon the next day, an airlift had been set up, and every few minutes saw the arrival of new planes pouring out their cargoes of men and equipment. Special guards were placed at each one of the points where radioactivity had been charted, with orders that if one of them should show signs of renewed radioactivity, the guard was to contact the command post at once. It was the evening of the second day after the ship had blasted off. Carlson here. Yes. Yes, I understand. Yes. Move away from the center of the danger point.
That's right.
The ship has returned?
Yes.
You'd better get the area commanders ready.
That's what I'm going to do. Major Williams, to all area commanders, put Plan A into operation. The first out of the ship, notify me, then the air command. They know what to do.
That signs of radioactivity had reappeared. From where we were, we could hear the reconnaissance planes taking off. The whole camp had suddenly roused itself in the lethargy of waiting to a concerted drive to find the enemy and destroy it. Carlson here. You have? Where? Yes, yes, I have it. Get in touch with Air Command right away. They found it.
Where?
You'd never believe it. The ship has returned to that cleared area in the woods.
Probably thought we'd never look there.
Let's get up there. We've got to make sure our men are back far enough. What we're going to drop is the most powerful weapon in the world.
Has the entire area been cleared?
Yes, Major. The men have all been ordered back beyond the danger point.
Good.
I wonder if the thing inside that ship knows.
Listen.
Yes, I think it does know. Why doesn't that plane get here?
The sound is getting stronger.
Maybe this is a trap. Maybe that thing knew what we'd do. Perhaps it can destroy everything in this area for miles around. Maybe that was the reason we were allowed to live, so that we could bring in reinforcements. It can destroy 100,000 of us.
I hear the plane.
We can only get here in time.
What if it blasts off?
Then we've lost. The first and only battle we'll be allowed to have. They've dropped the bomb. Duck down! Longer, and all of us in this area would have been destroyed.
He said that they were waiting for his report. If he doesn't return, will they come looking for him?
Perhaps. Then again, they may think that we're stronger than they are. Who can tell what will happen? Perhaps the future may bring other visitors, and they may be friendly. Then again, they may be our enemies. We can't tell what will come from out of the sky.
The Hall of Fantasy, on Tuned to Yesterday from April 20th, 1943, on the Mutual Broadcasting System. And that brings to a close this hour of science fiction on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden age. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVonier. Thanks for tuning in.